Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, August 14th, 2023. You know, I didn't hesitate on the date. You know why? I want to wish my daughter, the apple of my eye, the wife of Eric the Tech, the mother of two of my grandchildren, a happy birthday. She's 32 today. And Jackie, I just want to say happy birthday. Thanks for being a good mom. Thank you for being a fantastic daughter and a wonderful wife to a great guy. All right. I had to say that. Is that okay, Eric? Are we okay with that?
Great job.
All right. Thank you. All right. And you might be wondering why I am like upbeat on this Monday. I'm telling you something. The reason I'm upbeat with all the stuff going on is because I have the opportunity today, and folks, you know me, okay? The people who watch this show, listen to us all of the time, know that I have very few people I hold in high regard, and who I believe are heroes, unsung heroes, and I have one of those people with me today. This is for the first interview ever, and I am extreme. I've been looking forward to this all weekend, and with me is Liz Harris. Now, if that name rings a bell, it should. She's a national treasure. Let me tell you something. I've been an investigator in the private sector 36 years. You get to know people. You know, you go through behavioral profiling, and everything else. Liz Harris is a real deal. She's a graduate of the Mount St. Vincent, College of Mount St. Vincent, where she got a BA there, MBA at Pace University. She's also a doctor of integrated medicine. But you know what? She was a real estate broker of the year in 2017. She has done a lot of just a tremendous real estate broker, agent, and also the proud mother herself of three beautiful children. So I'm very pleased to have Liz Harris with me. You may have seen her on shows like The War Room with Steve Bannon or other platforms, but she's agreed to come on this platform, and I thank her from the bottom of my heart because we have a lot to talk about, a lot to get into. This is going to both inform you and hopefully inspire you. And ladies and gentlemen, again, I want everyone listening and viewing, support the work of Liz Harris. Believe me when I tell you, when she speaks with authority. I know there are people out there who don't. She does. She has integrity and character that only very few people, I believe, have. Liz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate, and I'm serious, I really appreciate this. I've been watching you on different programs. I've been following you on Twitter or X or whatever that thing is now. You've really made a difference in exposing or bringing to light the crimes of election fraud, the irregularities. And you've been treated unfairly, harassed, intimidated, threatened. Yes, threatened. And I just want to say this. Anyone wants to threaten her, you come to me first, okay? Not that I can do much because I'm an old guy, but don't do that because you'll pay the price. But Liz, you certainly have paid the price, speaking of that. You were a member of the House of the Representatives in Arizona 13th District, elected by the citizens of Arizona. And you served, what, 3-4 months, January 9th through April 12th. An ethics complaint was filed against you. They expelled you. And what a bunch of BS that was. But let's start wherever you want to start, because you're known for investigating and bringing to light the fraud and all the election irregularities. So start wherever you'd like.
All right, sure. Thank you so much. So what I hope your audience comes away with today is that the Arizona swamp is just as bad as the DC swamp. And if this is happening in Arizona, you can probably bet it's happening to some degree in your state as well. And it's real. Everything I've been through, really sad, but I have to hold my head high and keep marching forward. So essentially, on December 29th, I still didn't even know if I won yet. It had to go to a judge for a recount. And unfortunately, our governor, Katie Hobbs, was supposed to give the results a week ahead. But again, December 29th. Now, remember, our election was November 8th. But it took until the end of December for them to say, yes, Liz Harris, you actually won your election, because they did a recount on myself, Abe Hamaday, and Tom Horn, superintendent of schools. So Abe Hamaday, they found a bunch of votes. Tom Horn, Tom Horn, unfortunately, stayed the winner. But my recount came within 5 votes. And on a recount, you can always expect the results are always going to be pretty close to what the original was, because if there is a mass anomaly, then questions start being asked. Now, in Abe Hamaday's case, his recount, it drew his margin much narrower. But, you know, they're just blaming it on this one county and their mishaps. But I am a believer very strongly that the election systems throughout the United States have major problems and that election reform is needed. So just to quickly go through my timeline as quickly as possible. Again, December 29th, I know that I have won for Legislative District 13. Now, I didn't do too much prior to not knowing whether or not I won. But once I knew I won, I moved into my office and I started on my election integrity legislation. So we have a meme of the bills, Exhibit 1. And these are essentially the day that I got sworn in, January 9th, up until the day that I got expelled. These 12 bills to bring election reform to the state of Arizona, that was my priority. Now, I had other bills. I had an appraiser bill. And I was highly interested in educational bills as I sat on the education committee and the law enforcement committee. I sat on those committees. Those things were very important to me, near and dear to my heart as well. But nothing was as near and dear as correcting or reforming our election process. So the 12 bills, and my MO was to get as much on the record as possible through the elections committee that I sat on, so that both the other side, the Democrats, and the constituents throughout the state of Arizona, and my fellow Republicans understood why this election reform was needed. So the only way to do that was, again, to bring in people to testify, to get all of this great stuff on the record. And that is what I was doing week over week in, it's called the MO Committee, Municipal Oversight and Elections. And people were coming in who worked on the canvas. I was one of the initiators of what wound up being a countrywide canvas, but state by state, we started here in Arizona, going to people's door right after the November 2020 election and asking people, not who they voted for, but what method did you use to vote? How many registered voters are there supposed to be here in this household? How many extra ballots did you get? What did you do with those extra ballots? And we found wonderful information in that, but it basically showed that the methods of voting did not match the official record, that there were addresses that were registered to vote in people that did not exist at those addresses. We found all sorts of things. It was all turned over to the Arizona Attorney General. And now I'm hearing that, well, you're the way you did it is not, wasn't good enough for court. Therefore we did nothing with it. It's just, it's gaslighting. It really is.
If I can ask, and by the way, what you did was, lawful and constitutional. And in fact, you did the work that, the people in office in charge of these things should have done. You turned this information over to the Attorney General, I take it, Mark Brnovich at the time?
Mark Brnovich and former, former Assistant Attorney General Jen Wright.
Okay. And they said, well, it didn't rise up to the legal standards for an investigation? Or?
Well, this is what's interesting. They let it all drop. Now, today, after I've gone through everything I've gone through, I'm getting messages through Twitter from the former Assistant Attorney General, and she's on a speaking circuit. Well, we tried following up with Liz, and Liz never answered our questions. It's all gaslighting. To the most recent thing that I just got in writing, which said what I just stated, that it was not, it was basically a wasted effort. I mean, literally, that's what they're saying. It was a wasted effort because it would never stand up in court. Because.
Wow. It just blows my mind because. Go ahead.
We were all over the target. All the people who did the canvassing were over the target. And that's why Department of Justice said, Department of Justice sent the state of Arizona a letter in May of 2021 that this is voter intimidation. It's violating the KKK Act and the Civil Rights Act by us going to the doors and asking people questions. We asked everyone. We didn't care what color you were. We didn't care what party you were.
And these were really non-intrusive questions.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I mean.
And 9 out of 10 people appreciated us coming to the door.
Exactly. I recall you doing this, or the time when you were doing this. And this is to bring up the KKK Act. I mean, you talk about desperation. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and continue because this is so important.
So all of that was done. Zero money collected. Like we did not. It was all the canvassers. This is the work of the canvassers. It's not even the work of Liz Harris. Yeah, I did some canvassing, but if we didn't have the hundreds of people jump on this project that we did, it would have never happened. And the former Assistant Attorney General of Arizona, she recently made a statement that this was a grifting effort of mine. And I'm like, what? And the thing is, the people who canvass, they know that they use their gas, their ink, their cell phones. The app we used was donated to us. It was a custom designed app. And unfortunately, that app builder was killed in a hit and run right out. And it was only weeks after he told me he didn't want anything more to do with the project when I asked for some upgrades. Said, if you want to buy it, $600,000. I'm like, I don't have $600,000. He just wanted off, out. And then just a few short weeks after that, he's killed in a hit and run in Florida. There is lots of things that have happened that could just be coincidental. But I'm sad because if this death was in any way related to him having built that app for us on AFW, which is an Amazon platform, like I feel horrible. The gentleman who uploaded all the data into our app on one of the first major. We did a canvas and then we made it official for the Arizona Senate. Now the Arizona Senate said, we got to postpone your portion of the audit, the canvassing portion. And then they canceled it on us. And then a good attorney out of Michigan told us, Liz, just go do it. So the day we went to do it, a gentleman by the name of Don, uploaded all the data into all the houses we had to visit. He uploaded it. And then 2.5 hours later, his private plane goes down. He's still recovering from that 2 years later. He survived. But fifth degree burns. And again, it could be a coincidence.
Yeah.
Right. But I feel bad. Nothing other than that verbal threat, which we'll get to later. Nothing's happened to myself or my family. I'm a believer. I believe God and my guardian angels are protecting me, but this is not a safe space for everybody.
You know, it's difficult for me to believe, you know, from the Norman Rockwell-ish kind of thinking, a generation ago to today, how far we have fallen. And again, folks, Liz Harris, you can follow Liz on Twitter, X, whatever, at Liz Harris MBA. And support it. Look, whatever you need to do, please support this woman every way, shape, and form. I mean, whether it's a nice tweet, nice email, whatever. But she's been through hell and back, and like what I know, I'm just not going to say what I know, but I know that this woman is a hero when it comes to exposing the criminality of what we've seen in the last several years. And I really appreciate her being on, and she's being on this show. It's a cost to her, okay? Because, you know, these people aren't playing around. You heard what she said. Yeah, it could be coincidence. You know, plane goes down, a hit and run. Okay, yeah, well, how many coincidences does it take? And I'm 36 years doing this. I don't believe in coincidences. But Liz, again, thank you. Wow. Okay, go ahead. Please continue.
So just to reiterate, one of my goals was to get as much on the record as possible. So I was on the House side doing the election committee work, and I was approached by Colonel Ivan Raiklin. He's a constitutional attorney out of Virginia. And he said, "Liz, have you ever thought about doing a joint hearing between House and Senate?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm a freshman legislator. Well, but I don't know. The Speaker of the House wants something for me. He wanted me to vote yes on something." I said, "I could go talk to him." So I took Ivan Raiklin's suggested itinerary and I brought it to, I think that's photo two, I brought it to the Speaker of the House, and he said he granted me permission to have this, but he just changed the date. He said no subpoena power. He checked with the Senate president because it was going to be a joint hearing. And right there, what you see was approved. And if you notice, just because some of those speakers, they're big names and they were flying in at their expense, I put that little caveat that that should we need to substitute any of the speakers for anyone else, that we have the right to do that, because it was important for me for this to be a full day hearing, not a half day. So again, that was granted. So that was on February 13th. February 14th to the 23rd, just doing my normal duties as a state legislator, going to caucuses, going to committee meetings, being on the floor, listening to the bills. I still had, you know, I felt that the majority of the onus on getting this joint hearing, because I'm the one who requested it, getting it all organized and put together, the onus was on me, and that's what I did. So planning was underway with certain members of the committee, because so we're taking all the election committee members from the House and all the election committee members from the Senate and joining us. And then I was working with some of them and staff. Now, Senator Borelli took the lead. For whatever reason, Senator Wendy Rogers did not take the lead. I got word, oh, this is Liz grandstanding and all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, I'll just work with Sonny, whatever I need to do. So I had been going back and forth with Sonny Borelli on the speakers and the different things as they were progressing. Now, he did, according to Colonel Ivan Raiklin, Sonny Borelli did call Ivan, and twice, an hour apiece, and did make mention to Ivan that Ivan should not be using the words decertify or nullify. And Ivan called me with this information, and he said, it's a gentleman's agreement. He's Marine. I'm Green Beret. Liz, we have to stay away from pulling back electors or any of that conversation. And I said, but but Ivan, isn't this what your spiel is about? You know, like, and Ivan's like, well, maybe there's a way we can delicately touch on it if the members of the committee ask the right questions. And that is what was supposed to be the bomb. The bomb of the day was supposed to be that Colonel Ivan Raiklin says, hey, Arizona's got to start this fall, start pulling back the electors, and then we'll watch the other five swing states do the same because of the election anomalies. There's just too many of them to say that now, well, here we are, 2023, going back to 2020. So we were going to speak to this for 2020 and 2022, but we never got there.
Because you weren't allowed to get there.
Because Sonny Borelli hates me now. Some people say he foams at the mouth when my name is mentioned. But Sonny has been one of our fighters, along with Wendy Rogers, for election integrity. And I'm sorry, they should have been fighting for the reform of the election process, which is one day, one vote, smaller precincts, hand counts, and results the same day. Strong voter ID and absentee ballot for the military, the disabled, the ER doctors, the flight attendants, the pilots, you know, people who genuinely cannot vote in their local precinct. That's how voting should be. And again, I can go over this all day long, but the argument, so here's the argument. Back before I started serving, it was, well, we have a House member and a Senate member that will never go for one day, one vote. And when we have slim picking majorities, like one person majority in the House and Senate, we have two Judases. We Paul Boyer and House Speaker Rusty Bowers. We have two Judases, so therefore it will never pass. So they gave up that fight back in 2021 and 2022. Now, but we had a Republican governor, Doug Ducey. Now we come to 2023, and I'm trying to push this forward. Well, Liz, you know, a Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs would never approve one day, one vote. But what I'm telling you is they're gaslighting, because the Republicans that voted to expel me, they were fighting me on my election bills. They were the ones telling me it's never going to happen. If we give up mail-in voting or limited it, I'll never get elected again. Many of them said things like that. So behind closed doors, I did not have Republicans, fellow Republicans, standing shoulder to shoulder with me on this election integrity. And I think you'll understand why after I get
okay, I can't wait. Folks, you're listening and watching Liz Harris, one of the most incredible people I've had the honor to get to know. When I say get to know, I mean, as much as I know about her, again, I feel like almost like a stalker because I've been following her for so long. But she's bringing the receipts. She's bringing the goods. Here's the evidence. Folks, please listen. And again, please support this woman in any way possible, her efforts, because she is doing God's work. Go ahead.
All right. So on February 17th, Ivan Raiklin notifies me that two of the five speakers have become iffy. And I said, Ivan, please try to get... Please, let's try to keep the original schedule. Try your hardest. Can I talk to them? You know, I wanted to really stick to that original schedule. But I went out and I found backup speakers. So the backup speaker that I wanted the most is Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer. For some reason, beginning in December of 2020 and January of 2021, I had actually learned that the legislators did not like Jovan, did not want Jovan, said he had a shady background. I did a background check and I'm like, I don't see anything shady here. But again, gaslighting, making stuff up. So on the Senate audit, Jovan got all the data, but he was like a behind the scenes person and they never let his work be entered into the Senate report, or they never let him come in and testify. I'm like, I said to a fellow senator, I'm not a senator, but I said to a senator, I said, hey, maybe we could get Jovan. And I said to a good friend, maybe we could get Jove on as a substitute. Liz, no, you can't do that. No, no. They've burned the house down before they let Jove on it, you know. And I knew, and I had to tell Jove on, I am so sorry. Trust me, I wanted you. Because I was kind of checking on availability, and I crushed Jovan. So anyway, just to fast forward, I feel bad that I was never able to get Jovan in to testify. But we did get Seth Keschel, and Sonny Borelli complained about Seth. Oh, we've heard from him enough. I'm like, Sonny, he's not on the record. Let's get him on the record. So Sonny agreed. Then I remembered having seen a press release and receiving a few chapters of a book called Report to the Governor. And the press release spoke about the reason we can't get election integrity straight in the state of Arizona, that it has to do with the border. And, you know, if we shut down the illegal immigrant activity at the border, that would affect our state economy. So I did get that in the press release, and there was a phone number at the bottom of it. So on February 18th, for the first time, I basically meet with the author of that press release. And this is just a few short days before the hearing. I go up to North Scottsdale and I sit down with Jacqueline Greger for 2 hours. And I explain to her, this is an election integrity hearing. It's a joint hearing. So everything that you bring to us must be relevant to strengthening the elections for 2024. So on the 20th, the following day, Jacqueline Greger, John Thaler, and I have a joint Zoom call. And I recorded that Zoom call. And John Thaler says, what I have to bring to you I have an eyewitness to the ballots and vans, and the guy followed this van with extra ballots. This is going back to October 2020. Followed those ballots and the cash in the van because the doors were open. And he obviously approached them like pretending to ask for directions. And then he followed those vans to a third party who handles our ballots. So he swore, this gentleman swore to all this. And this gentleman was a business partner of John Thaler. So they were bringing that forward. But what was even more important to me in what they were bringing forward, and again, I have this recorded from that Zoom call, was John Thaler's admittance to he himself had personally seen, through someone he was married to, upload documents into like secret portals of 4 counties in the in the state of Arizona. And those counties were Maricopa, Yuma, Pima, and Yavapai. And the point to this was these were fraudulent documents being able to be like there was a backdoor into the reporter's website. Now, the reporter here in the state of Arizona handles our elections. So that to me was like ding, ding, ding. That explained why, for the Senate audit in 2020, why we could never get the splunk logs and the routers. Because if you have backdoor entryways to these different recorder websites, you're going to see that in the log files.
Sure.
So, right. So anyway, so that was really important that he brought that forward to say, hey, you know, anyway. So the difficulty was that they brought that forward, and then they brought forward some documents of Adrian Fontes and Katie Hobbs that would fall under this category of backdoor portal entry. But then it continued to go on and on about the corruption in the state among the judges and state legislators and the police and certain municipalities. And then I was blindsided, is a strong word. I was not prepared for that. But when John Thaler asked me that evening, I hope you liked how the presentation went. I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, crap. You know, I kind of want to tell him off for going a little too far, but that's just not my personality. So I was just like, you know what? It's the way God intended it to be. And that's what I truly men. Like, it happened. There was no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. But they took that text message. Because if I had said what I was thinking and scolded John Thaler for doing that and blaming him and Gregor for presenting on way too much, you know, maybe that would have not cost me my seat, but they would have found something else to get me out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the cardinal sin here was they went out of the boundaries of what supposedly was allowed for that testimony. It's not that anything was untrue. It was just beyond what was agreed upon prior to their testimony. And this is witness number three of a list of three, right? Basically.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
Well, witness number five of a list of five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Five. Okay.
Yeah, wow. No, that's all right.
Okay.
No, so, yeah, so right before this hearing, you know, I was having difficulty with Wendy Rogers and Sonny Borelli on getting the list, the agenda published. And, you know, I wrote to Speaker Toma and Senate President Warren Peterson before I even knew what was going to happen with Gregor. I wrote to them. I have a text message that says, since when do we when do we tell our people who testify what they can say and when they can't say? And I was referring to what Sonny Borelli told Ivan Raiklin. But here I am. I actually did say to Jacqueline Gregor and John Thaler, please do not. So I'm guilty of it. And I'm the first to say, hey, if I'm guilty of something, I said, this is an election integrity joint hearing. Please try not to impugn any legislators, mention any religions, because there is a religious organization that's brought up into alleged potential money laundering. And don't bring up the book, because he's got a book coming out, this report to the governor. Don't mention the book. This is not what it's about. So here I am. I'm telling a constituent, because she was a constituent of Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm telling her what she can and cannot say. But in my doing it, I was just trying to keep it to the topic of what the hearing was about.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily to suppress a person's voice.
Right. I mean, you were trying to, in my view, you were trying to be, you were trying to do your job properly, I guess is a way to say it. But okay, I get that. Okay. Go ahead. Wow.
So what happened when the hearing happened, there were a couple events going on. One was a Right to Life march that happened at lunchtime. And I remember I kept, you know, I slipped Senator Wendy Rogers notes. I just want to make sure we break in time because I promised we'd be out there for that. There was that going on. And then there was a video made by the people of Arizona. And it was so important for me to play that. It was dozens upon dozens of people saying, hey, we do not have confidence in the vote anymore. You legislators, you need to pass good reform. And those were like that's what like was so important to me that day. It wasn't necessarily having Gregor come in and giving this, you know, bombshell of a report. So Gregor, you know, they're texting me, you know, she's in the tunnel. She's almost there. And, you know, the day is coming short. So I didn't even know if she was going to make it. So when she comes in, she's carrying a very heavy box. And I had said to bring a handout. Again, they're using this against me. I told her to bring a handout because I knew Jacqueline Gregor and John Thaler, they do not do presentations like Seth Keschel does, where you just whip out a PowerPoint out of your back pocket. So because we were approaching the deadlines and I was sitting right next to a staff member who said Speaker Toma needs to review all the presentations, like the audio visual, I said to them, why don't you bring a handout? And the ethics hearing used that against me to say that you tried to tell her to conceal what she was bringing in. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. I was just trying to meet the deadlines and the timelines because the speaker needed the materials like 24 hours in advance. So I just knew I was asking Jacqueline Berger and John Thaler for a title. And, you know, they wanted to put Thaler Harris. And again, they used this against me. I said, no names. And the reason I said no names in the title is because Sonny Borelli, in a meeting just a few short days before that, said, we're not going to publish the names of the speakers. That's why I said no names.
Right.
I want to get to the ethics hearing, but my fellow Republicans threw me under the bus. So going back to the hearing, Jacqueline Berger comes in with a heavy box, and she's got these handouts and binder clips, and they're like 81 pages. And the normal procedure is for the chair to look at it and then to nod and to tell the page whether or not the page can distribute it. But for some reason, I think the page just distributed them. And again, this is like God. Like God just told the page to hand them out, not to follow regular. It happened. And then again, Jacqueline Berger is making her presentation. I'm like trying to maintain cool. The legislators to the right of me were going crazy. Like I could feel the panic. I didn't even have to look at them. I could just feel the panic in the room when Berger was saying the state of Arizona has a major corruption problem. That's why you don't have safe and fair and honest elections. And
that's not wrong, this, though, right?
It needs investigation.
Yeah.
But how can you have proper investigations when you have so many people in on it or benefiting from it?
I'm kind of familiar with that. Excuse me. So essentially, it would be like a courtroom where if you were an attorney in front of a judge, you were counseling your witness, in a sense, on the rules of procedure, which were exceeded, including the packets. Instead of a handout, it turned out to be a novella, basically. But it doesn't make it any less true. It's just not procedure, I guess. Go ahead.
Right. And handouts are typically 2 to 3 pages of the highlights
right.
of what a person's speaking about. I mean, and again, I'm not going to blame my naivety, but I am a freshman legislator. Wendy Rogers didn't have much to do with it. Sonny Borelli, it's kind of like these legislators, if it's their idea and it's something that they want to get out there, they're gung-ho and behind it full force, and they get certain people to support them. But if what you're doing, even though we all should have equal power, if what you're doing doesn't fit what they're doing, they want to shut you down. I can say that with great confidence. So after, I do want to mention that during the Berger testimony, another thing that they came after me for, Senator Ken Bennett asked Jacqueline Berger, who invited you to this presentation? And, Jacqueline Berger says, Senator, and then she corrects herself, Representative Harris. And I go like this, and they said that this was me telling her to cut, like the performance was over. No, sorry, I am not a director. I never did any major productions. I didn't even do play in high school. Maybe in first grade I did play. But that was because Berger had mentioned the Sinaloan cartel, and in that law enforcement committee that I served on, just a week before the Berger presentation, I had no idea. I thought it was just terrorists that beheaded people, but apparently the cartels who are at our border behead different people and throw the heads over the border to send us messages. I didn't know that that happened. So when Ken Bennett asked Berger, who invited you, that was my symbol for like, great, I'm going to get beheaded in this mess. And I was fearful for about 24 to 48 hours. Now I'm fine. I don't think anyone's going to do anything to me. But the emotion of everything that happened that day. And we never got to the point of Ivan Raiklin saying, we need to decertify. We never got there. And, you know, I took heat on that. I took heat that Ivan, not from Ivan, but the people that know him, Ivan had a second presentation he was supposed to give. And I'm like, I thought he took his two presentations and combined them into one. So we could have gotten there. But God sent Jack Flinberger to me, and what happened happened. So after the hearing, I remember I was shaken up. I had Brian Cates as a house guest. He's a podcaster. He saw how shaken up I was. I mean, I was crying. I was like on my living room floor carpet, like holding my head saying, oh my goodness, what are the repercussions of this going to be? I knew there were going to be repercussions. The Saturday afterwards, Speaker Ben Thoma goes to meet with his legislative district, and from a very reliable source, he tells this group, again, this is just 2 days after the hearing, that people want him to expel Liz Harris. Now, he doesn't want to do that. He could take me off my committees. He could take away my parking space. But the people want Liz Harris expelled. I don't believe that. I believe it was Ben Thoma who wanted me expelled. On February 27th, the House Republicans caucus, Thaler, you know, the Speaker Pro Tem and all the leadership stand up and say Thaler is a fraud. They basically slam the different people on the committee for calling Jack Flinberger brave. And I have a recording of this, and they are literally going after Thaler really hard on him being a fraud and toxic and not valid information. So when it was my turn to speak, I stood up and I told the entire Republican caucus, at least all the people who were there, it's 31 members, I think maybe about 27 people were there. I said, look, and I didn't even go back and listen to the Zoom call, but it was fresh in my mind. It had happened just a week before. I said, this is what Ben Thoma approved. And I held up that exhibit we showed earlier. And I said, I had to get a substitute speaker in. And Thaler and Breger, I was expecting them to present on the ballots in the fans and the backdoor portal entries into the reporter's website. That's what I was expecting. Like, I told the caucus that. They didn't want to listen. They just wanted to believe what they wanted to believe.
Wow, folks, you're hearing firsthand Liz Harris, what she went through in an effort to expose the fraudulent elections. You know, I get emails by people saying, well, there's nobody doing anything. Liz Harris attempted to do just that, and this is what happened to her. This is her recounting the events. Ethics, you know, brought before an ethics committee. Go ahead and continue. I don't want to take your time. Go ahead.
All right. So in the last day of February, all of these people start coming out. Republican or right-leaning podcasters start coming out saying, Thaler's a fraud, Thaler's a fraud. And I'm like, and it put a little bit of fear into me. I'm like, why is this happening? So at this point, you know, the stuff that I had looked at Thaler's, I'm like, wait a second. He's got some really valid points in these anomalies in these documents that he's making. And I started perusing, and some of the documents matched addresses of where the phantom voters resided. And I'm like, okay, there's something really strange here. So again, Thaler's stuff needs heavy investigation. But when you have all these right-leaning podcasters telling you, Liz, how did you even find out about Thaler in the first place? I said, well, the roads lead me back to former Representative Mark Finchem. And I don't need to belabor it, but that's how I got the press release, through a mutual friend of Mark Finchem. And then the chapters of the book, when I got the four chapters of the book, I actually got it from Mark Fincham's girlfriend's sister. So it was just natural for me to say, well, I'm pretty sure it was Mark Fincham, but I didn't just jump on air and go public. In fact, from the Brager hearing until the day before I got expelled, I did not do any interviews. I just remained quiet because I was trying to protect my seat. Anyone who said I wanted to be a martyr and I wanted to get expelled so I could run for higher office, it's fake news. It's not true.
Okay. So, and by the way, wasn't Mr. Thaler a 30-year RICO investigator?
Yes.
Okay.
32 years.
Okay.
Wow. 32 years. And it's like, it's how it led him to the state of Arizona in the first place, because a lot of these other states, he saw the money funneling into the great state of Arizona.
Wow.
So, on March 3rd, I didn't know this at the time. All this evidence and information came up later, but on March 3rd, Fincham, Lyle Rapacki, and John Thaler, they have a telephone conference call. You know what? This was either March 3rd or it might have been March 6th. But anyway, on this phone call, they convinced John Thaler to release any text messages with me to establish a timeline proving out that I had only known John Thaler for a few short days. But instead, what wound up happening to those text messages, they were screenshots from John Thaler's phone to Lyle Rapacki's phone. What they did to me at my ethics hearing, there was no discovery. They just removed 10 of my exhibits that I wanted to present on. They removed them. They left 4 of my exhibits, and then they took exhibit 5. And right there, while I'm on the stand, they throw exhibit 5. And they want me, and they start spinning these text messages, and I answered the questions honestly, but the text messages are what they're using against me to say that Liz Harris is liar, liar, pants on fire. And I've never really had the opportunity to go through the text messages and say, okay, well, a staff member said this, and I was just relaying it to Jacqueline Brager and John Thaler. And Sonny Borelli said this, and Sonny Borelli said this, and this is my rationale for saying this. I never had that opportunity. And that's because there was no discovery. And the ethics committee for the state House and Senate, they say, well, we don't have to follow a court of law proceedings. We don't have to act and behave like a courtroom. Yeah, so that's what it's, these text messages. So, you know, Mark Fincham did put out a statement that essentially said, you know, because of what I'm saying here, I'm going to go after Liz Harris and Jovan and Michelle and Brian and Gail and all these people for defamation. Well, Mark's not doing that anymore, because I've got a lot of stuff recorded. I don't record all my conversations, but when I'm iffy on something possibly being used against me, I think it's the man above tells me when to hit that record button. And so, but more so than my record button, because if I hadn't recorded anything, it could just be me looking someone in the eye telling you, this is what happened. I promise. But there's something greater than that. And that is that I have conducted Zoom calls with constituents since December of 2020 daily. We just recently took Sundays out. But every day I met with groups of between 40 and 100 constituents to either train them on canvassing or tell them what was happening. Like this morning's call, there's supposed to be no more than an hour. We went an hour and 43 minutes this morning because people, they want to bring up what's happening in their legislative districts. So the people have gotten to know me. That is why, now that I'm expelled, the Republican state legislators are getting a lot of kickback from the people. And they think that the legislators are now saying Liz Harris is a cult leader. And these are her cult followers. That's the latest in the last But they don't understand that I, because I invested that time for over 3 years now, I invested 34 months, 36 months. I've invested that much time with the people. Most legislators forget, most elected officials forget about the people, unless it's them doing a campaign speech in front of them, or maybe taking an appointment with some of the constituents in their offices. They forgot how to listen to the people.
You know, what struck me prior to this program, I happened upon a video, news video, when they were selecting your replacement, and you had supporters outside. And I mean, believe me, folks, I think it was Channel 4. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But you had said something that struck me. You said, I know most of these people by name. And if you think, if you think about this, here is a state representative working for the people, elected by the people, chosen by the people, but tossed out by the corrupt bureaucrats on really bogus ethics complaint. But it struck me the fact that you were able to say that and acknowledge the fact that you knew most of the people by name, and you had so much support there. I mean, that the people of your district of Arizona put you in that position, and these mopes had the audacity to take you out by a vote of, what, 46 to 13, if I recall correctly. But so the corruption, the more you fought, the harder they fought against you. But again, the purpose of me saying this was I was impressed by the fact that you could see, too, the love of the people, not a cult, but a friendship and a system of support. So go ahead, ma'am.
So the Dems on March 6th come out with the ethics complaint against me. But I'm going to tell you right now, the whole way that was orchestrated, it was very clear the Republicans were behind it. It was just very clear. Different motions that were made. And again, March 6th, that's after somebody let somebody know, we have Liz Harris's text messages to proceed with this, unbeknownst to me. And then March 8th, Mark Finchem actually sends John Thaler a text message asking what, and again, Mark Fincham's Republican, what else do you have to show that Liz had an underhand in this presentation? Now, John Thaler came out with a letter that said, Liz Harris never saw the presentation that we were going to deliver. The presentation wasn't even completed by Thaler and Breger until 2 hours before they presented it. I was more concerned about what was going on in the hearing that day and the Right to Life March and everything else that was going on. And, you know, the video of the constituents not playing the way it should have played, you know, and having to save that for the end of the day. Like, yeah. So Mark quickly dropped all these threats of me, of coming after me for defamation, because I've got the receipts, as you said earlier.
Let me, I got to ask you this, because I've seen Finchem on a number of venues. Was he naive or malicious in your view? I mean.
So in my view, I'm not really, I don't like to do this to people, but there is a maliciousness. And where that's coming from, like, Mark's got his Election Integrity Institute now.
Right.
So he, up until the point of releasing my text messages, which John Thaler was not prepared for, John and Mark were working hand in hand into getting a grand jury investigation going. And Mark Finchem was fundraising off these efforts. What I believe in my heart, and Mark, go on a podcast and correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that this diluted your fundraising efforts for this particular project. And I think that's where part of the problem was. Now, Mark was just on another broadcast very recently within the last few days. And, you know, he's going after phantom voters and, you know, send me $20 a month recurring. And so it's like there's the only mention of me that Mark has. He's told many of my friends that I'm a liar and that I'm a Patriot Party operative. My friends aren't going to lie to me. So I just need to kind of, Mark, I wish you well in whatever you do, but just please stay away from me because you're not helping me. I wonder if people like Mark Fincham, Wendy Rogers, Sonny Borelli, because I have such an honest and natural way of relating to people, I kind of feel like it's they want me out of the way. So yeah. their intentions may be good, but I'm telling you, the majority of them all fundraised off of election integrity. And yet, what has the state of Arizona actually gotten done? Very little to nothing.
Boy, and I've never heard you say, yeah, send me 20 bucks. And, you know, no, I mean, I can't even imagine the expense incurred by your efforts. I've never heard you ask for anything. Go ahead.
I've never asked for anything. And now when you Google my name, you get 19 to 30 pages of Liz Harris being a liar, discredited, expelled from the state legislature. What do you think that does to, you know, I had this really successful business
right.
as a real estate broker. And, you know, I thought I could just hop right back into that. But a lot of people don't follow politics. So when they Google me to look at my ratings, can this woman sell my house? Do I want to work with her? And they see these atrocious articles. Now, some people may cut through them and say, oh, wow, she's a good person. But other people might be like, oh, my goodness, for all the people who do believe in these articles, do I want to work with her? Because it might, you know, it might hurt their transaction. They have not just removed me from the state house, but they have done everything they could to destroy me financially, professionally. I had a real estate board try expelling me after I got expelled from the state legislature. I'm not mentioning which one, but I had to go through another, what I considered trial. It's been, now I survived, but it was a hung jury. It was a split vote. Half the people thought that because of what happened, they believed everything that happened at the state legislature was truthful and that I was a liar and I deserved to be expelled. You know, therefore, am I going to do harm to the reputation of a real estate board? All of that happened. So it was like August 12th. Well, no, March 30th. I have my ethics hearing.
Right.
I did not have legal representation. And the reason I didn't have an attorney is because I was told it was an average of about $15,000. And on a job that pays $24,000 annually, I didn't really see the return on investment. And I'm one of those people that, you know, well, let me just go in and tell the truth and I should be fine. And that's what I did. And yet they put out, the day before they expelled me, they put out a 9-page report. And in that 9-page report, they found, I think it was 5 counts of me being dishonest and they had to discredit me. They've even gone as far now as to put that report on a website along with all my text messages to say what a liar I am. And that was done by a constituent, but I'm telling you right now, Republican legislators put him up to it. And I have a lot of reason to know that that's what's happening. And it's not even necessarily the Republican legislators that voted to expel me. They're trying to save face. The Republican legislators that served on that committee, on that ethics committee, to say that I was guilty on all these counts, they're trying to save themselves. And they're, I'm telling you, to this day, up until last night or yesterday afternoon, an email went out to all the Republican legislative district chairs in Maricopa County, that website, and how I'm a liar and I'm to be dishonored. The fight is every single day of my life.
Really? I mean,
yeah. And this happened in April.
Oh my gosh. Folks, I'm dumbfounded at this point. I did not realize that, frankly, that pisses me off now. Okay, thinking about that. Because the most transparent and honest person I feel I'm talking to right now, that's Liz Harris. And she's fighting this Leviathan of this corrupt, the corruption runs deep, okay? And they went after you professionally, personally. Again, intimidation, harassment, going after your professional license. And I've been there, okay? I've had to defend my license as an investigator over over an investigation I did involving politics. Believe me, it's folks, it's not fun. It's not fun. Believe me. So, okay, making your life hell for just wanting to get the truth out, have the system change. Hey, one day, one vote, you know, one person, one vote, same day voting. Is that too much to ask? Okay, go ahead.
So on April 12th, on the eve of April 12th, I get a call from a fellow Republicans. There's two people down at the state legislature that I trust. They are Cory McGar and Rachel Jones. And I get a call from one of them, well, Cory, and he says, "Liz, we don't have the votes to save you tomorrow. They're going to expel you." And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Can't you just form a block and just say, you know, you're not going to pass the budget? What, isn't there something you can do?" He goes, "It doesn't matter because they have the Dems on their side for things that they want to do in the future." So it's the uniparty at work, what we call the uniparty, which is, it's not about compromise. It's really about, my opinion is, Republicans selling themselves out and right, not following the planks of the Republican Party. So Cory said to me, "Would you consider resigning?" And I'm like, Cory's like, "Don't be so quick to say no, but you know, maybe it would save me humiliation or whatever." So the next day, I walk into the chamber and that 9-page ethics report is on everyone's desktop. And I'm like, I text some people I know. I'm like, "Yep, today's the day they're going to expel me." Try to get people down to, you know, I ask people to come down to the Capitol. But I didn't realize they were going to try to expel me first thing. I thought we'd proceed with the voting and they'd do it at the end. But no, they really wanted me out of there. So Majority Leader Leo Biasucci goes, "Liz, Ben wants you. Ben wants to talk to you." Don't have any respect for that man anymore. So I go into the chamber, and then Ben Thomas says, wait, can't start talking. Got to get my legal counsel in here, you know. So his attorney comes in, and I said, "I'm assuming you're here. I'm here because you want me to resign." And he said, "Well, I have this resolution to expel you." And I said, "Well, people who resign are either quitters, and I'm not a quitter, or they have something to hide, and I have nothing to hide."
You're a fighter. That's right.
And then I asked Ben Thoma, Speaker Thoma, I said, "Why, you know, if what Thaler and Berger said is so slanderous, like, why aren't you going after them for defamation? Why are you coming after me?" And he said, "Well, we don't see eye to eye on things." And at that point, I just looked at his attorney and I thanked her for witnessing the conversation. And I walked back out onto the floor to face my expulsion. Now, for whatever reason, I made a call to Mike Lindell and I said, "I can't believe they're going to do this." And Mike's like, "This is a travesty. I'm going to get you on with Steve Bannon. Just stand by." And, you know, I was supposed to, right after the expulsion, I was supposed to get on with Steve Bannon. And then all of a sudden, I get canceled. And this has happened to me on a lot of the major platforms. I don't know which legislators it is, but they're getting the word to people like Carrie Lake and Steve Bannon and other very influential people well, Liz Harris was expelled because she lied, and this was her punishment. And I mean, the people that expelled me are the same people that didn't want election reform to go through. Hello, connecting the dots, not that difficult.
It hurts my heart to think, by the way, that you did not appear that day with Steve Bannon. It hurts me because, but what hurts me even more is the fact that the viciousness in which everyone has come after you for simply wanting what every patriotic American wants, and that is reform of our election system so it reflects a more accurate will of the people, I guess, is and the lies that are being cast out against you, the 19 pages Google search results, I know what that can do. Believe me, I know what that can do. So, folks, I'm telling you right now, Liz Harris, she's got the bruises, the scars, the fresh wounds, the old wounds. But the fact of the matter is, she's still fighting. And I love this woman for her tenacity and her courageousness. Liz, again, I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue. We're into overdrive, so not a problem. Just continue because your message is so important. It really is.
I know. So I had somewhat of a sleepless night last night. And I ask myself, and I have a little bit of a low-grade fever, but I ask myself, why is God putting me through this? Like, there's got to be a reason. I don't think the average person could take it. Mm. It's because it's continual. There was a letter put out by two of the legislators to the Pinal County GOP on why they had to expel me. And they're so worried about protecting their positions and them getting reelected. Election integrity really does not matter to them. So can we play the audio clip 12?
Sure, we can. Eric the Tech, audio clip 12. Okay, we're a two-man show here. His arms, and I can see his arms.
Okay, no, that's all right. Okay. Wait, I'll just give you a little preview.
This is coming.
This is what Speaker Pro Tem literally, he told a group of constituents this, and the Republicans tried coming after me saying it was an illegal recording. And I'm like, well, I'm not the one who recorded it. It wasn't illegally given to me. Arizona is a one-person recorded state. But the reason I want to play this is okay, I'm ready. So this is what Pro Tem Travis Grantham, a fellow Republican, told a large group of people.
All right, here it is.
I voted to expel her. And let me tell you something. Liz Harris is not an honest person. Now, this is Travis talking. She's not a good person. She did more damage to election integrity and to our cause as Republicans than anybody in this room can imagine. And she acts like a messiah who leads with our values when she goes out and purposely lies, subverts the rules of the House, circumvents every opportunity we give her to do something honest and fair, and she does it when she looks us in the face, and then she does it again, and she does it again. I told her, look, you can come clean. You don't have to admit fault. You can tell us that this was by design and it was a huge mistake. You could probably try apologizing. You can resign. But she refused to do any of it.
Go ahead.
So the only thing that I was offered was a resignation. I was never offered to apologize or any of that other stuff. But again, even if they said apologize to save your seat, I would have written an apology saying that I'm sorry that things turned out the way they did. But my apology would not be the type of apology they were looking for. I probably could have never given to them. And the type of apology they would have wanted was that I didn't vet these people and that I had pre-planned what they were going to say. And I am so remorseful. The gentleman we just heard from said to a good friend of mine, if Liz Harris wasn't smart, so intelligent, we may have given her a pass.
Wow.
So what they're trying to say, now she didn't report it. I wish she had, but you see, you got to understand, they wanted to get rid of me for so many reasons. And it's not because I was this manipulative, underhanded person. It's because I could outsmart them. You know, and it's this projection thing. They point the finger at me. There's three right. fingers pointing back at them.
Yep.
But so I get expelled. And then what the procedure is in Arizona, the legislative district gets together and they vote on three people to replace you. Normally, this process is done if a legislator dies or resigns, or has another opportunity. But in my case, it was because I got expelled. So within 6 days, the legislative district precinct committeemen gather. 9 names were nominated. I won on the first round of voting with 70% of the vote. And but what they have to do is they have to
that.
Get.
That's incredible. Go ahead. It blows my mind. Okay, you're expelled, but yet. Okay, in the backup, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this to me tells the story. I don't know, maybe I'm overreacting, but you were elected a second time, so to speak. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then I've got hundreds of people with bullhorns on the outside saying, you know, in support of me.
Yep.
I've got a state legislator. So if you weren't a member of Legislative District 13, a voting member, you weren't allowed into the building. You had to stay outside. So I had a legislator who, I'm telling you right now, he was there to spy on the whole thing. He did not vote to expel me. But the things that Representative Justin Heap has said about me have been absolutely horrendous. I had that same girlfriend who had been calling all the legislators for me to kind of explain that she was part of the planning process and that she knew that Breger, none of this was intentional. They didn't care. But she was on the phone with, I think, 6 legislators, some up to an hour, going over every detail. And then she was telling Justin Heap, she had his ear for 3 hours explaining to him everything that had gone on. And once again, we're telling these legislators, here's what happened. And they just continue to say, no, Liz Harris pulled a stunt. She's not going to get away with it. And she was justly expelled. And even some of the guys who did not, I'm telling you, I do believe that website was put up at the advice of one of the Republicans who didn't vote to expel me. The reason I say that is because he's walking around with all my text messages, handing them out to people. So he must have wanted that broadcast because a lot of people hadn't seen the text messages. But okay, so just going back, so the vote, I win by 70% on the first round. And then there are two runner-ups who win second place and third place. All of our names get submitted. It doesn't matter who got the most votes, but all of our names are submitted to a group to make the decision. And what is that group? It's the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. And we've heard about them. So my interview was 30 minutes long. I went through an extensive background check. I even got like a little teary-eyed when I spoke about the homeless because they asked me what my solutions for the homeless were. And, you know, and then they asked me about election integrity. And it's funny because Commissioner Jack Sellers said to me, I explained the canvas to him and he goes, well, the canvas, he goes, didn't the attorney general debunk your canvas? And I just, an attorney general does not debunk. Like, the word he used wasn't even right. But I thought that I was very sincere and that I was very relatable and personable to Commissioner Jack Sellers, but they did not choose me. So a couple short days after that interview with Board of Supervisors Sellers, they picked someone else to fill that seat. Oh. And I'm going to be honest, it hurt. It hurt.
I can imagine. Against the will of the people. And yeah, go ahead.
Some people down at the Capitol say the name slate was ordered right away and it was really, really long. So they knew the person with the long name, like, you don't send it back to be cut down, but they knew who was going to get it, even though we went through all these procedures and interviews. They're like, we know who's getting it. It's the one with the long last name. And the media just had the media is having so much fun. So the media tore me apart after Berger spoke. The media tore me apart when the ethics report came out. It's funny because the ethics report hit the media the same time I got a copy of it. I find that really funny. And then the media came after me after I got expelled. And the media now, John Thaler's book, a major publisher has picked it up, and that's going to be coming out, I think, in the middle of next month. And now the media is like just coming after me one more time, just to discredit me, to discredit Thaler, to do everything they can to say anything related to this book, anything related to what happened at that hearing on February 23rd, is just a bunch of hogwash. And I just have to say, I don't know if 100% is true or 10% is true. I know that certain aspects that I looked into look like, wow, there's something to see here and it needs more investigation. And even our county sheriffs are saying, you know, like, they're making these statements. Well, John Thaler hasn't directly given me the information, when his team, we have directly given some sheriffs the information, but they're on their speaking circuit saying they don't have the information. And then I also heard, well, John Thaler's got to provide us bank statements. How is he going to get bank statements from, you know, this is what the sheriffs are supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. And you know, this is what bothers me about the Patriot movement. People within the Patriot community, it's almost like you don't know who to trust. I mean, present company excluded, of course, but I don't know. I mean, there are so many things wrong that are going on that are wrong. And you're fighting all of it. And I mean, you're taking, you know, arrows and bullets, and figuratively speaking, hopefully. It's just an incredible, why can't we get our act together, you know, as a community, and get together and fight this beast that's coming against you and others like you? I mean, what's the deal?
Well, others like me, they are any people, and there are some people. There's this woman by the name of Misty in Mojave County. I don't know her. I've never spoken to her. Maybe I've met her at something, but she ran to replace a vacancy in Legislative District 2 in Mojave County. And because she wanted to censure the legislators who expelled me, and because she's vocal, they literally, on the night that she won the election for Legislative District 2 in Mojave County, Arizona, they hand her an order of protection against workplace harassment. And they say, we got this signed off on by a judge. I'm sorry, but you need to resign. Because you're not permitted at the places, at these GOP offices, the Republican offices, where you'd need to perform your duties. Now, this is a volunteer job.
Wow.
And this isn't the first time it's happened. They've gone after many people who speak on behalf of me or in support of me, they go directly after them as well. And well, it's very, very sad.
You know, look, come after me because I am in support of Liz Harris. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, knowing what I know based on, again, 36 years investigating the private sector. I know, I've got databases. I know. Plus the information brought by, Liz Harris. Look, I'm telling you right now, it is absolutely 100%. She nails it. Okay, so I guess you answered my question. Okay, this is what you can expect when you raise your head up and say, look, you know, we want this reform. We want this made right again. And you're fighting this corruption that runs so deep and so wide. It's incredible. And so I give you a lot of credit. I do want to afford you the opportunity, because I know that you're busy, and I think you just unpacked only to repack again because you're going somewhere. Do you want to talk about that or
the Mike Lindell's summit? Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm going to head out to Springfield, Illinois. No, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri.
But if I can just interject, the mistake you made, my wife, I landed in Springfield, Missouri, and I had a car rental, and I went to the car place to pick up my rental, and all the car places were rented out. Went to get my car, and finally, after, because they had no cars, and they said, no, you don't have a reservation. I said, yeah, I do. And my wife made it. She made it for Springfield, Illinois. So so I actually had to drive the next town to get a car, or get driven to the next town to get a car. So, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought that was funny.
That's funny. So
don't, by the way, make sure your ticket is to Missouri.
Yeah. Okay. I leave at 5:27 a.m. I'm not going to mess that up. All right. So, and I've got to make sure I get better here. So I'm not 100% as in terms of feeling well. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to go there. Now, someone from the organization called me because they're going to have everyone from a state go up and give a little spiel on what their state has done for election reform. And they've chosen Mark Finchem to do the state of Arizona. So I'm going to have to deal with that. But there are a lot of big names, and it's exciting because Mayor Giuliani, Mike Lindell, again, lots of big names, Lou Dobbs, who was let go of Fox. Yep. They're all going to be there. But on the 17th, August 17th, they're supposed to make a big announcement as far as what we can all do to make sure that 2024 doesn't get stolen from us, but we're all going to have to participate. And it does not involve needing any legislation or any judges to make any rulings, that we can all do this. So I'm going, and, you know, I'm going to keep myself, you know, glasses half full and say, okay, this is going to be something great and it's going to work. But then the other side of me is like, this could be a dud. You know, we've been made promises again and again and again. You know, in 2022, we're all going to vote in person with a blue ballpoint pen. And then you see what they did to us here in Arizona. They shut the machines down on us. Even myself, I had to slide my ballot in 5 times before it would accept. So I'm just very hopeful that whatever we put forward as what this is that we're going to do, that the nefarious players aren't 12 steps ahead of us stopping us, or, you know, that this idea does not come to fruition. Because in my humble opinion, the only thing, like before the show, when you asked me, what can people do for me? It's not what people can do for me. It's what you can do for voting throughout the United States. And that's county by county, state by state, get in legislation that requires in-person voting, hand counts, small precincts, strong voter ID, and minimal mail-in ballot. And that is how we will take our elections back. And we can't ever let up on this. We can't just do this for one election cycle and then go back to mail-in ballots and machines. We have to keep this in play. Because what I realized early on is the reason they need to control our elections is to put the proper selected people into place so that we can continue. And this is really sad to say, but when you have the proper people in place, and by that I mean the nefarious, but you're allowed to continue the drug trafficking, the weapons trafficking, the human trafficking, and the child trafficking. It's all interrelated. And that's the sad part of all of this.
You know, the 2020 really woke me up to the integration of the trafficking, the border, the positions, especially positions elected and appointed in border states, as well as, hey, I'll throw Pennsylvania, my state, in there as well. It woke me up to that. And I'm glad you mentioned how everything is intertwined, because people need to understand how bad this is. So I'm looking forward, by the way, to a report. Hopefully, you know, I want you to get a lot of rest, and well, as much as you can. Can we get her some chicken soup, Eric the Tech? I mean, I'm serious. Anyway, I'm looking forward to a report to see what that event will bring forth, and perhaps we can, and I say we, I guess that's a royal we, but hopefully you can report and say, you know what, there's a way out of this, and this might be it. I do hope that to be the case. I really do.
Me too.
Man, I'll tell you. Liz Harris, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know you're not feeling well. I know that you've had one heck of a busy schedule. And for you to spend this much time with me, I cannot thank you enough. I really can't. And I appreciate all that you do. Anyone in Arizona that is looking to buy property, right there. Okay. Use Liz Harris, because she is above reproach. And by the way, that's a very important thing if you're looking for buy or sell property. Don't let those people... Liz, don't let those bastards get you down. Okay. I'm serious. And folks, Hey, not that she needs it, but, certainly, you can always, just send her a little note saying that, you're behind her. I'm not sure if your contact information is public, but we are behind you 100% as this platform, and we appreciate
you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to get the message out. I don't have a ton of opportunities.
Well, and we, I'll tell you what, I love honest people. I love the people that fight even in the face of such adversity as you've been put through. And again, very few people would survive what you've gone through. And I just can't imagine. And I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you do. And please don't be a stranger. Come back again and get better. Get some rest.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that was Liz Harris. As you can tell, I'm just extremely delighted to have had her on the show. And if you're looking at this and saying, how does this fit into the bigger? I mean, my goodness, you got fires in Maui, total devastation. You've got, of course, the illegals. You got fraud throughout the country. Well, she said it best. It's all related. I mean, the corruption part of this. This is all related. And you know, if I was presenting evidence, Arizona probably would be the state of Arizona members therein, in terms of corruption, would probably be Exhibit A in my presentation to a jury. But Liz Harris, of course, just really just really taking him to task. God bless that woman. Folks, thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. And happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, Jackie. God bless you. God bless everyone out there listening and watching. Have a great day.